What's up, suckers? It's me. I'm back. And sorry for the 2-week delay. I know I had just said that we were going to get back on and we were going to start doing this every week, but you know, life has other plans. So let's just launch right into it. Before I do that, if this is your kind of thing, if this channel is what really gets you going, talking about ADHD, ADHD apps, how to accept your ADHD and to accept yourself with ADHD, then do me a favor and like and subscribe. It helps me find people, it helps cool people find me, and that is the whole reason I'm doing this in the first place. Rejection sensitivity. I think every one of us with ADHD knows what that is. And if you don't, or if you love someone with ADHD and have never dealt with that before, it's essentially the feeling that somebody is turning you down or is rejecting you when they're really not. It's this expectation of people rejecting you just because you grew up being rejected a lot. People with ADHD grew up as kids who were considered quote-unquote weird, right? Or they were told a lot that what they were doing was wrong or strange, or they were regularly made to feel as if no one would accept them or love them. And so because of that, we automatically tend to try to go after, I shouldn't say go after, we tend to try to head off that rejection that we're expecting at the pass by rejecting the people before they reject us, or trying to find the rejection before it happens. The only problem is it's not always happening, and so it can make things really awkward. It can get in the way of relationships, friendships. You never really know. So I have dealt with rejection sensitivity disorder my entire life as well, and before I even knew what it was, I remember dealing quite often with feeling literally that feeling of being quote-unquote alone in a crowded room, right? Just kind of feeling like somebody would speak over me while I was trying to make a joke, and then I was like, oh, okay, I'll go die then. And, you know, it was never that serious. It was never that major, but I made it feel that major to me. And after learning about ADHD, after learning about rejection sensitivity dysphoria, I have since gotten very good at dealing with it. I want to make that clear that I'm saying I've gotten good at dealing with it, not at beating it. There is no beating rejection sensitivity disorder. There's no getting rid of rejection sensitivity disorder. Really the best that you can do is get really good at reframing it when it happens. So some of this is not going to be stuff that you would do with me. It's stuff that you would have to work on in therapy. Some of it is stuff that I work on with my clients all the time. And we're just going to kind of go ahead and talk about what those things are. And hopefully it's going to help. The first way is to look at the evidence, to have hard evidence in front of you, tangible evidence. What do I mean by that? A great example, in one of the ADHD groups I'm part of, there was a woman who was wondering if she was being left out by her group of friends. And she was like, you know, they went to a party together and they're hanging out and I'm not there and it feels like I'm being rejected. And I told her what I tell my clients and what I tell myself when I go through this stuff. And that's basically that the best way to fight that feeling of feeling rejected is to look at what you have in front of you that proves that you're not. So I said, you know, how many texts have you received from those friends in the recent past? How often have you been talking to them? Have you hung out with any of them recently? And, you know, does that kind of disprove your point? And, you know, she wound up saying that, yeah, you know, they've been texting her and she had hung out with a couple. So she knew that it was just that she was kind of more dealing with FOMO than rejection. So coming back to the point, the quickest way to combat rejection sensitivity disorder, or dysphoria rather, sorry, is to look at things as they are. Because what your brain is doing is it is changing the way that things are. It's telling you that what's going on or is different from what's actually going on, because it's going off of how you feel, off of your emotions. So the best way to beat this is to show yourself, your logical brain, right, that what you think you are perceiving is not correct. That's the quickest way to fight it. So, you know, that could mean a number of things. That could mean, like I told that one woman, looking at texts and things like that from friends if you're feeling left out. If you're feeling imposter syndrome, which I don't think is officially a form of rejection sensitivity dysphoria, but if it's not, it should be. Probably the quickest way to beat that is to have what I call a brag folder or a brag book. And that's where you keep on file every good thing that you have done, every good thing that has happened to you, especially if it happened as a direct response or direct result of your efforts and of the things that you've been doing, whether you do it online or whether you do it with a actual folder. Keep on file the things that prove that you actually know what you're doing, because then it's a lot easier when you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm being rejected, I'm no good, nobody loves me. Then it's a lot easier to just pull that stuff out, look at it and be like, I'm, you know, just feeling that way because of now. I am not feeling that way because that's the way things are. Another thing that I like to utilize, and I have it myself here at my desk. I can't pick it up because it's busy right now. But I have what's called a joy jar. And I tried to Google this because I really wanted to kind of show an example. And strangely enough, there's only Pinterest examples. There's not really many articles or anything on them. But they're really easy to make. They're simple. You just find an empty jar. You clean it off, obviously, as much as you'd like. And then you put it next to a pad of paper and a pen. And every time something good happens, you make sure that you write down what special thing it was and the date. You fold it up and you put it in the joy jar. Now, depending on who you're talking to, some people will say, yeah, you should use the joy jar throughout the year. Look at it anytime that you feel bad. I prefer, just because, I don't know, it's like Christmas to me, I prefer to start January 1st and then stop December 31st and then look at the things that I have been going through this entire year, because I think that that makes it special. So it depends on what you decide to use the joy jar for. If you're the kind of person who tends to finish up a year in a really bad mindset, that could be good. But if you're like, I need it for a rejection sensitive dysphoria, everyday rejection sensitivity, then yeah, I 100% think that a joy jar should be used just whenever you feel down to look at the things that you have done. Just remember that if there is a particular date on this positive thing that you've put in the joy jar, it doesn't stop being good once you've read it, or if the date was like 3 months ago, it's still good. You still did good things, all right? So that kind of brings me to the second thing that I generally suggest people do, and that's to look inward. Sometimes rejection sensitivity tends to happen when you're feeling really shitty about yourself. You're just not feeling good about yourself in general. You know, I know that that happens when my hormones get out of place, but it can happen for just, you're just not having a good day, right? And so one way that kind of feels good but also bad is to start feeling shitty about yourself. So when things aren't going right as it is, it's a lot easier to feel like, you know, somebody telling you, sorry, we don't have steak at this local Subway, so you got to pick another sandwich, feels like a rejection. So when that happens, it helps to sit down and to look at what else may be going on to make sure that the feelings that you're having aren't stemming from something else. The questions you want to ask yourself are, how was I feeling up until this happened? You know, was I already upset, or was I in a really good mood and now I feel like I was being rejected? Has anything else been going on that's been bothering me? Maybe it's not something that happened right away, right before, but maybe it's something that happened like the day before and you've still kind of been thinking about it and it was just crimping your mood a little bit and it finally just got to you and, you know, maybe you're just dealing with that. How are my hormones doing lately? And I know that I say this as a woman and there are a lot of guys out there who are like, I don't have hormonal problems, and that's not true. Everyone has hormones. The hormonal cycle for a male, from what I understand, for a biological male is, I believe, 24 hours. And a woman's, I think, is supposed to be 28 days, but obviously that varies. So depending on where you are in your day as a man, you could absolutely be having hormonal issues. It's a matter of trying to figure out, you know, is there something biologically playing into the fact that I feel rejected and that I don't feel good right now? And finally, ask yourself how you've been eating, sleeping, how much you've been moving, all of that good stuff. Because obviously, if you're not sleeping well, you're much more open to the fact that you might be being rejected and it's going to hurt more. If you're not eating well, you know, you're going to be much grumpier. Hangriness runs in my family. So you also want to make sure that there isn't stuff playing into it that could be fixed by getting more sleep or eating better or drinking more water even. I've been having a lot of headaches lately and that's because I just realized yesterday it's because I've been forgetting to drink water. So that's another option. And generally for me, you know, if you're like, well, I did realize that it's something else, what do I do? For me, it depends on what the something else is. If it's something that I can't fix, right? Like if it's just something that I've recently failed and not done well at and I feel really bad about it, generally what I will do is I will, and I always put it this way and some people don't prefer to use this term, I prefer to say I baby myself. I say, okay, what do I want right now? And I'm just going to give myself what I want that will make me feel comforted as long as it's not going to, you know, damage my family or hurt other people. But if it's like, I really just want to eat a whole bag of sour cream and onion potato chips, then I'm going to eat sour cream and onion potato chips. You know, or if I need a nap or I just want to read and not be talked to. And I figure out a way to make that happen because really, if you try to fight the feeling of being rejected, especially when it is something that you can't do anything about, you're more likely to feel those feelings much sharper and they're just going to keep coming back rather than just letting yourself kind of process them and move on. If it's something that you can deal with, then, you know, sit down and try to make a plan on how to deal with it. If it's like, for example, you know, you and a friend haven't had the best relationship lately, it doesn't hurt to sit down and say, okay, how am I going to talk this out with my friend? How am I going to work this out? What should I say next? Allow yourself to work on the issue instead of trying to just bat it to the side and move forward. I know that a lot of people hear the thing about mindfulness and being present. And yes, the present is important. It's totally important. But the past does play into the present to a degree, and I don't think that you should just be ignoring it, especially I think with ADHDers, we tend to sometimes ignore it just because other people ignore it, or it feels like other people are ignoring it, and that winds up not serving us. And so the last thing that I would suggest here, guys, is to be vulnerable. I don't think that we're told to do that a lot because ADHD and RSD already feel very vulnerable, but there's nothing wrong with getting clarification sometimes. You know, there's nothing wrong with, depending on how close you are to those friends that you're feeling left out by, there's nothing wrong with just pulling them aside and just being like, listen, I'm feeling kind of left out. You know, is that what this is about? Is this on purpose? Like, did I do something? Obviously, you don't want to do this like every single day or every time something happens, but there's nothing wrong with doing that every once in a while. If a friend hasn't texted you in a very long time, and you're feeling kind of like they may not like you anymore, there is nothing wrong with reaching out and saying, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. Is everything okay? You know, it's okay sometimes to allow those feelings to push you into some sort of action. Obviously, you want to make sure that it's an action that's not going to blow up your entire life or friendship or relationship, but there's nothing wrong sometimes with being a little bit vulnerable and a little bit more open with people. What if I am being rejected though? Like, you know, some people are going to be right about that feeling of rejection. And that is it's okay to feel that rejection. It's okay to acknowledge that you're being rejected in that moment. But do me a favor, or do yourself a favor, and don't let that feed into your RSD to the point where you're assuming that because you were right this one time, you're right every other time. You were just right that one time, and it's okay to feel the things that you're going to feel, but don't let that feed into the way that you look at your interactions with other people. It's okay to feel sad and hurt. Being rejected hurts. It hurts everyone. It doesn't hurt just ADHD people. It hurts people who are neurotypical. It hurts. We want to be accepted. We want to be loved. We are social creatures, and being told that we're not accepted hurts. So it's okay. Allow yourself to feel that rejection and that hurt. And lastly, you know, once you have felt that rejection, felt that hurt, eat that pot, that pot of brownies. God, that would be delicious. No, that pan of brownies, or that bag of chips, and you've watched the TV and you've cried. Focus on rebuilding. Focus on moving on from that moment of rejection to the next good moment. You know, what do I do next? What is the very next step? Okay, so I tried out for this job and I got turned down and it was a job I really wanted. What do I do now? And see how you can make yourself comfortable with life and yourself again. Don't let the opinion of one other person out of, or even, you know, 20 other people out of 7 billion people hold you back. So all I'm saying is rejection sucks for everyone, but it is not the end, and it's not the end all be all. And there are so many other people out there who want to accept you rather than reject you. So focus on that and try to work towards that and look at every rejection as just a slight bump in the road on the way to finding your people. Okay, so hopefully that helps. I hope that you guys are still looking into Chase the Chaos. The early bird pricing is over for tickets, but the link to get a ticket is still in the description. We still have a number of payment options, and we would all love to see you there at the really cool digital summit for neurodivergent women and allies. Thanks very much for watching. Drink plenty of water, take care of yourself, and I'll see you in the next video or in the next podcast episode.